Welcome to the Tales of Osteopathy students with me, Chelsea, and the third time of trying to start this, and my good friend B. How are you doing, B?
Good. You gotta laugh, don't you? Otherwise, you cry. It's all good.
I can't speak today. I'm all tongue.
We're very excited. It's Christmas nearly. We're excited. It's episode 22. Yeah. It's the last of the season. We're going to have a two-week break. So see you later. Have a good holiday. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And we have a special guest today.
Are you ready? Ooh. Return of the Jacks. Return of the Jacks. Once again. I don't know any more words of the song. But
yeah,
Jax is back.
Woo!
Hello.
Hello, Jax. Thank you for having me back, guys.
Anytime.
We needed you back. We're just like... Today we've got a special episode as well, which required your wisdom.
When you asked me to come on, there was this... The tiny, tiny human inside me was like, yes, of course, I will 100. And then my mind went off track and started making lists and everything. So yeah, I was very pleased that you asked me to come back for this episode.
Amazing. So for those of you that don't quite remember, Jax was on episode five.
Which seems like a very, very long time ago, doesn't it?
Oh God,
this year's been long.
Well, I kind of always feel that this year has disappeared without a trace. Like, in some aspects, I feel like it's gone really quick. Like, how is it Christmas next week?
Yeah, crazy.
I think I go through moments of it being super long and, oh my God, that seems like so long ago, I don't remember what that feels like. And, like, when I go through my phone to find training videos that I had at the gym, and then there's pictures of me in my old gym, and I'm like, oh my God, that was still this year. Like, I thought that was 2019. No, honey, that was February this year when you were still there.
But then at the same time,
it's Christmas. I mean, what day is it? It's a Wednesday.
16th.
Christmas is Wednesday. Next Friday.
Yeah.
No.
Crazy. I remember the three of us walking down the street in February and V being like, have you seen this thing about coronavirus? I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. It's not going to be a big deal. Doesn't matter.
It's just let's not
because it was shortly after that you were nearly attacked by a squirrel again.
Vicious animals, squirrels. What are your drinks and potential snacks?
My drinks today are, well, snack selection letting you down a little bit. I don't have anything at all. I'm low on the snackage. I have not eaten enough mince pies for my liking so far. They were not of good quality. I've had my advent calendar chocolate, obviously. But yeah, right now, don't have anything. But did have a healthy portion of porridge with some peanut butter.
Yes.
We're a big fan of peanut butter porridge.
Glad you approve. So I'm okay for food. But... liquid varieties. I obviously have coffee. It is my second mug of coffee today because that's necessary. And
I totally agree.
Yeah, those people who wish to judge me on my caffeine addiction, which I will put my hand up, is an addiction. Before we started this call, I had a headache coming on, and that's because I hadn't had any coffee.
Oh, wow.
So yes, I do have an addiction. But I'm okay with that.
I'm totally at peace with that.
I'm okay with that. It's fine. So really, it's just coffee for me today.
Fair enough.
V? Agreed.
What you got?
In the polar bear mug, which is the size of my head, I have my third cup of coffee. So I'm also acknowledging that I have a coffee issue. But that's fine. I need it. And I've got a clementine. For Christmas.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Festive smells.
Christmas clementine.
Do you not hate it, though, when you go to peel it and it gets in your eye and then you're like, ah! Oh.
And you actually think that you're going to be blind for the rest of your life because you're like, there's acid. Like, do they use this, you know, in The Simpsons with, like, the little nuclear power plant? I'm just imagining, like, lemon juice or orange juice in there because it's the most painful thing.
Amazing.
And what about you, little Charles?
Me, I am on my second pint of tea. Non-caffeinated tea for this one, and I've got a detox pucker tea, which is scrumptious and feels like it's healing me, because for the second podcast in a row, I'm a little bit hungover.
Oh, look at you.
I'm literally now pretty much 50% mulled wine mince pie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good ratio for this time of the year.
Yeah, pretty much. P.S. I've gotten mulled wine from Co-op, Tesco's, Sainsbury's, and Waitrose. And the best, so far in my personal opinion, is Sainsbury's.
Ooh. That's the one I have.
That's the one that my parents have got in stock for when I go home for Christmas, hopefully. So I'll
it's good. And it's 5.5%, so it's not too pokey.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. I don't... What is it, though? I've asked somebody else who I work with who can't drink red wine. We have equal horrible stories about red wine, which have completely turned us off. I don't drink red wine, and yet mulled wine I can drink easier than any other alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally just like...
Maybe it's to do with the heating process?
Yeah, maybe.
Or the sugars?
Yeah. Maybe I just, in my head, I see it like a cup of tea, so I'm just, like, downing it in one.
Yeah, like, oh, this is just hot Ribena.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a winter-spiced Ribena that you can get if you want a non-boozy version, which is essentially like mulled wine, but not boozy. It hits the spot. Good.
You can also get, which I discovered in my local corner shop the other day, a winter spiced Twix.
Oh!
It's very nice. I would highly recommend.
I want to try it.
Yeah. I don't know whether they're in all of the big supermarkets, but just on my little corner shop, you know, I just had that little craving for something sweet. And I ain't had a Twix in ages. And I do love a good Twix for dunking in a cup of tea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw this winter spice one. I was like, what is this?
And I'm going to find one then.
Yeah, I would recommend, definitely.
Nice. Corner shops always have those cool little random, like, they chocolate do. Bars and stuff, don't
yeah.
they?
Or, like, a variety of sweet that you haven't seen before, like a certain type of M&M that you can't get anywhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like you can only find the lychee Rubicon in corner shops.
Yes.
And that's, like, the lychee one or the mango one is, like, the staple of childhood.
Definitely. I was team mango.
Yeah. Yeah, gotta say, I loved a mango.
I really loved the lychee one because I just felt it was like really silky smooth and light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just loved the flavour of it. It was so good. So today, we thought we're not going to have some anatomy. We're going to have a little bit of fun. And we're going to talk about some study tips that you can take with you over Christmas, over any season, essentially, just to make studying a little bit more fun and a little bit less...
Yeah. Today we are your three wise women. We have lots of uni experience of previous to osteopathy and now osteopathy. Not to say that we are perfect students, but we know our learning style and it may be of some use to people listening.
Yes.
And I think because we also all separately have our own way of knowing how we revise better, we can also cater to different learning styles as well.
Exactly. Yeah, we have been talking for quite a while before recording, where we went into great detail about which like background sounds we like and locations and stuff like that. So
get ready, well, there's a study playlist coming to you soon.
Exactly. We will link on like Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that, and like a study playlist of
this is definitely
sounds.
Happening. Like. Once later on today, I am finding all of those songs and sending them across to you for sure.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Oh, sure.
You know?
So, what I thought we could start off with today is to talk a little bit about learning styles.
Yes.
Before we get into it.
Great way to start.
So, learning styles as being sort of the way that you learn. And I think if you're anything like me, roughly around my age, when we were at school, we went through a test and there were three different learning styles, right? Which was these like
these eyebrows. You can we're now like you can tell the ages of the people here on the chat. These, like, what are we talking about? And me and Chelsea are like going, yes, I know this.
Yeah. I feel like I should have been like tested as a child for learning difficulties, but never was. But
for me it was the one thing we did on a computer at school. was to figure out our learning cells. Apart from that, we literally barely have any computer time.
Yeah.
Because I'm old. But so those three learning styles were kinesthetic, auditory, and visual. And basically did this a little quiz on the computer, and it came out with like a percentage sort of thing. Of generally, you had one which you were more dominant in, but you had a second one as well. And some people would be all three because they're lucky little bastards. And for me, I was very much kinesthetic and visual, which makes lectures very difficult because I don't really absorb information unless I'm doing something. So if someone's just talking at me, I find it really difficult to absorb it, which is a negative thing for me because sometimes it comes across that I don't listen to people, but it's just literally my brain just can't do it. It just doesn't absorb. So that's one thing for me, is that I was very much, I have to take notes because that's me doing something that helps me absorb the information. But now there are actually 7 different learning styles rather than just 3.
Seven.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting.
They've evolved.
What are these 7 learning styles?
Well, I'm going to tell you. First of all, we've got auditory and musical learners, which kind of pretty much does what it says on the tin, right? You learn by hearing things. You absorb things through sound and through music and things like that. Qualities include things like possessing a good ear for music and tones, maybe distractible, can be distracted quite easily, likes to talk to self, others, hum and sing.
I mean, I like to talk to myself and I hum, but I think that's just annoying for other people. I don't think that's useful for my studying at all. The fact that I sing, I am making a coffee, I don't think that's going to help.
I mean, I do a lot of these things too, and I think it's great. I love it. I think, Jax, we should create an album of self-talk.
Yeah. I have no input on this because I have no musical talent whatsoever or any ability to keep rhythm.
There's no talent, V. Like, I just do it.
And V, what are you on about? You created the medical story time jingle. I think that is your musical talent.
Thank you.
So,
Number two. She's drunk on mode word.
Literally. Brain out of skull. So number two is visual and spatial learner. So these people generally like things like diagrams and drawing out concepts, charts and processes and things like that. There she is, Jax is like, yes, please, thank you. And so these people are habitual doodlers or drawers, observant, not easily distracted, enjoys planning and prefers visual instructions. There she is.
I take that.
Yes. Number three, we've got verbal learners. So this includes both writing and speaking. And these people are generally very intellectual, they're bookworms and really good storytellers. Number four is your good old friend Chelsea here. Is logical and mathematical. I'm one of those fucking weirdos. So perhaps unsurprisingly, mathematical learners ear towards careers in programming, accountancy, science, research, and other number and pattern orientated careers.
I can't think of anything that's least like me and more like you, Chelsea.
Yep, totally agree.
I love research. I love it. So this is pattern recognition, good with numbers, predisposition towards grouping and classification. And so for me, it's even things like, you know, when you've got like those code things on doors to get through, like, say at work, to get through to like the back office or whatever. I don't remember the numbers. I remember the pattern, things like that.
I see.
Very much like all based on patterns and things. But yeah, I very much do like to put things in groups and classify them. Number five, we've got physical or kinesthetic learner. So commonly hands-on learning, which I think a lot of us are part of that too. They like to physically engage with materials and the subject matter. So it's preference to get their hands dirty, very energetic, may drum their fingers and shake their legs. I'm a fidget for sure.
Yep.
Such a fidget. Action orientated and outgoing. I think we're probably all quite outgoing. And may deprioritize reading and writing.
This is me. Procrastinator extreme.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Fun fact. Physical learners represent about 5% of the population and gravitate towards careers with lots of hands-on work, like emergency services, physical education and sports.
Oh, hey!
Yeah. Then number six we've got is social and interpersonal learner. So these people are social learners, but preference towards groups and collaborations. They love working as part of a team. Generally quite extroverted, good communicator, and sensitive and empathetic.
I think that's probably quite me. I do like working in teams.
I do like working in teams, but I'm also sometimes I very much like working by myself. A lot of these I'm like, I can literally hop between a lot of these.
Yeah,
like, turn them on and off.
Pick out aspects.
For sure. And then finally, number seven, we've got solitary and intrapersonal learner. So these people are very independent. They can be visual, auditory, physical, verbal, or logical learners, but they like doing things on their own. And they're very independent, they're very introspective, they're very private, and think like things like researchers, writers and authors, and programmers and coders. So there's like they have one of those other aspects, but they do things on their own, essentially. Yeah. So those are the seven learning types. Tell us what ones you feel like you relate to. But I think one of these things that's quite good in pinpointing these things is that you can figure out what you're more like, so then you can sort of engage your study, and there's so many different tools and things and whatever out there that can work specifically for you, because just, you know, when you're like learn before lecture stuff, it's like read this chapter of a textbook. Cool. Yeah.
I would love to know anybody who can actually like sit down, especially for anatomy and physiology, read the chapter of a textbook and actually absorb anything.
Oh, yeah. My colleague at work, he genuinely can do that. He has a photographic memory, and he will just read, because he's a sports masseuse, and so we've been chatting about anatomy and physiology stuff. Mm. And when he was doing his degree in something to do with sports diet or kinesiology, I can't remember, he would be able to just still relay off some of that information that he had read like 10 years ago. And all he would do is he would just read a book, and that was it. That was him. I was like, how is that? No, I can't
that's
do that.
That's crazy. I've got like a semi-photographic memory in that I can remember colours on a page. So if I've seen a page, like a page in a textbook, and you've got like a graph or whatever that's in it, I can remember, like, okay, I can remember what that page looks like, so I can roughly gauge where things are on a page. I have that, but yeah. I can't, you know, some people, they just can remember exactly the text and everything like that. Like, I don't have that.
No.
Yeah.
I'm better with if I've watched a YouTube video and there's cute animated characters, I'll then probably remember what they're trying to tell me, the theory behind it, because I'll remember that cute picture of the heart and that other cell and its little friend and those kind of things. But if that was a diagram, I wouldn't remember it. But if I drew it, then maybe.
Talk to me about your study tunes, guys. What do you listen to when you're studying?
Ooh, who wants to go first?
Well, we were sort of talking a little bit about this before, and I think we've all sort of agreed that lyrics in music doesn't work for any of us.
No.
It's just, I think if there's too many words or the song's too catchy, I'm going to want to either dance or sing badly along to it. So I need like a location as well. I do really, really badly just sitting in my room. I need to leave my bedroom and set up myself somewhere busy. So that I can put headphones in and sort of somewhat block out the busyness, but other people getting on with their day around me makes me focus more. So a coffee shop is ideal for me. And I just put in my headphones, which either like I don't have anything on and I just listen to the sort of background muted sounds of a coffee shop, or I put my headphones in and I listen to some like classical music, some like acoustic guitar really works for me. Or there's a Studio Ghibli like soundtrack.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
It's super, super good. And so I've got like one playlist that I put on, which is It's called Lo-Fi Hip Hop Radio, which is just like a thing on YouTube. And it's just because it's a radio, it's not the same song every time you click on it. Like, it changes all the time. And sometimes you've got like kind of like rain in the background and stuff like that. It's super good. But I'm the same. If I've got lyrics in a song, I just stop doing everything. I'm just like, I'm on stage singing my song. Like, literally just like, just going for it. I'm just like, oh, wait, what? Has that been an hour of me just singing along to tracks? Let's do some work.
Oh, that's literally the same for me as well. I can't have any sort of lyrics going on because, yeah, as much as I shouldn't sing for everybody's other ears that can hear me, I will. And so it's probably best for everyone involved, my studying included, that I don't do that. And I'm kind of a mixture of both of you. And then if you... So, like, I love going to a coffee shop. So... As we know, I'm a caffeine addict, so I get that hit from that smell anyway. But I also just like that ambient background noise of other people doing things. And I think we said earlier, like, I really like the noise in a coffee place where they'll be like putting the actual coffee, I think it's maybe called a casket, back onto the machine, and like they're tamping it down, and then they're with the milk.
What a beautiful sound.
Like, it just makes me feel like I'm at home. But yeah, so sometimes I'll listen to that and have headphones on so that it's a sign for other people to not come and disturb me, but I might not be listening to anything. But if I am listening to stuff, then it's actually more likely to be nature sounds, because I like listening to the rain or bird songs or things like that. So over this year, whilst we've been at home, my housemate has come past multiple times and been like, what are you listening to? And I was like, oh, this is just bird song 101 from so-and-so. And then the one time that I decided to put on instrumental, like a playlist that I'd found of just instrumental scores from songs, there was one of the Lord of the... There was quite a lot of Lord of the Rings going on. Yes. And my housemate was like, are you watching Lord of the Rings? I was like, no, I'm just studying. He was like, I was about to say, I'll come and join you. I was like, no, please don't. I'm just studying. That's all. Yeah. But then at the same time, I was like, this is also kind of distracting as much as it's comforting, because then I started thinking about the film. And then sometimes, like, Pirates of the Caribbean would come on and then I felt like I needed to jump on my bed and pretend I had a sore. So I was like, no, this isn't useful either.
I tell you what's a really good soundtrack for study as well is The Theory of Everything.
Good film.
Yeah, the score of that is really, really good because it's quite chill. And that's the thing is, like, if you put, like, the Harry Potter soundtrack on or something, it's like, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You're just, like, you get too hyped. And it's just like, no, you want to stay chill, for sure. Nice little segue into the next question I was going to ask you both, which is study locations. Nice spots to kind of sit in. Like, for me, I'm all about getting my space set up. Like, I like being at home. I've got like a little office room and stuff that's nice and quiet. I've got windows outside where I get lots of pow, like squirrels and birds turning up and stuff. But I was like kind of like lighting a candle, getting like the lighting right, and like creating a really nice kind of chilled atmosphere. But you guys kind of, you're both talking about being in coffee shops and liking the sort of atmosphere and hubbub of places, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, of course, like over the past couple months, coffee shops have not been my go-to place. But I sort of try and recreate that. I'm living at home with my family at the moment. And I find that I really work best when I'm working next to my older brother and his girlfriend, and we're all sort of doing our own work. They've got work calls and stuff like that. And I'm just like, yes, I've got shit to do. And we sort of set up our own little coffee shop station sort of thing. That's the ideal setup.
Yeah, I'm very similar that over this year, since we've all been at home, I've definitely found it a lot more difficult being in my room and studying. And especially as it's now slightly darker in the afternoon, because I live my life normally in a basement, I've never actually seen the sun go down so quickly in the afternoons. So it'll get really dark in my bedroom, and then I'm like, oh, well, I need to now go and discover another room within the house that I can use. Because even with my lights on in here, it doesn't feel quite right. So yeah, I would actually, what I used to do when we could go and study in coffee shops was I used to, and this is going to link into massively how much I am a planner when we start talking later on, I used to find new coffee shops that I hadn't been to before, so that I could partly try out their coffee, but secondly, try out their ambiance. And so I would go to different coffee shops. And then once I found a good one, I might stick there. Because I like going to a coffee shop so that there's the atmosphere there, but I don't want to be known or to be noticed. And so there's quite a few coffee shops that are near where I work. And if I went to them, my mates would come nearby from, or colleagues from work, and they would come and distract me. Or maybe I'd get a little bit too comfortable with the other people that would work there, and, you know, you'd kind of know them a bit more. So I actually ended up going to a coffee shop that was maybe like 3 or 4 streets over from where I worked instead. And there was less people. There was like a good amount of people because it was quite new, and it also had cinnamon buns.
Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon buns are my favourite.
So yeah, coffee shops for the win for me personally. Nice.
Jax, I've kind of got this vision of you in the future when you've got your own clinic, that you're going to have a little barista station of like someone making the coffee and stuff.
I mean, my vision is that my clinic will have, it'll be somewhere that's surrounded by a woodland area, so that there's nice views, serenity for everyone. Good clinic. There will also be a small size gym next to it, so that I can train and I can do rehab stuff with people if necessary, and other people can come and train too. And then next to that is a very small coffee shop, possibly. Where I get all of this money to invest in myself, I have no idea, but a girl can dream, right?
This is the question that I ask myself all the time, because I have like a similar sort of like wellness center like brewing in my head, and also laid out in a very basic bitch Pinterest board. It's just like, how am I actually going to be able to afford this like indoor transition to outdoor gym with like a CrossFit element to it, and like a little like healthy cafe sort of thing? It's like, how? But that's the idea.
Yeah, it's like, I did this the other day. We were walking through town, and there's this really big, huge, old building in the centre of Bath town, and it's called like the Rheumatology Hospital of Bath, and it's not used as a hospital anymore. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna buy that one day and turn it into my like my major Uber clinic.
With my imaginary money.
Just storing all that Monopoly money to be like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Next question I wanted to ask you is like, kind of, what's your sort of study medium? So what do you kind of prefer? Is it like YouTube videos, books, apps, drawings, mind maps, writing stuff down? Like, what's your fave way of like learning stuff?
So for me, up until this year, I was solidly only pen and paper, because, dear listeners, if you did not realise from the last episode, I am the stationery queen.
The stationery queen. There's no contest.
Paper chase, sponsorship here.
Yes. Oh, please. Like, I will leave my handle. And if you can get a hold of me, that would be wonderful. I have a student discount, but I am willing to promote all of your products. In fact, I think within the first couple of weeks of our lectures in first year of knowing you guys, I actually told Chelsea the floor plan layout of the Tottenham Court Road flagship store so that she could get something that she needed.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you need to specifically get to this floor. If you go right to the back and over to the okay, it'll be there.
So true. So for me, up until now, it's always been pen and paper. Even when I was doing my A-levels and my, I think probably even my GCSEs back then, and my first degree, that was always pen and paper. But I still do that now, but I'm branching out into other areas. For this second year, I got myself an iPad and one of the pencils. So I'm still taking notes. Because the only issue that I had with all of my papers is that when we came to doing our exams, I was like, where the fuck have I put that diagram? And where has this gone? Because I maybe embraced the pen and paper, but I hadn't yet handled my organisational skills, so I couldn't find all of those bits. So now I've moved over to a bit of both. YouTube videos. Yes! They are the one. I that like my lectures that I have, but there'll sometimes be concepts that they maybe haven't quite
mastered themselves yet.
Yeah, and you know, or they may have like possibly slightly confused me with something that I thought I'd learned. So I will go back to my YouTube resources and go through those. So, and as I mentioned earlier, I think again, maybe linked to stationery and the fact that I like doodling, if they are animated and cartoons, you have my attention even more. I basically think I am a 30-year-old stuck in maybe a 5-year-old's body, and therefore I like pens and crayons and papers, and I like pretty pictures and animations.
Yeah, I think so. It's so cute, though. It works, though. It really works.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's like a crash course. I'm a big fan of crash course.
Yes. And now they have the app.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know they had an app.
I found it the other day.
I'm going to go get this.
They have flashcards.
Yeah. I downloaded it after you suggested it, Jax, and I was just like, this is fucking awesome. It's because they've got like all of, because Crash Course, they do like so many different subjects, but they've got anatomy and physiology, which is where we live. And it's got the anatomy, physiology, like all the flashcards for just like that. And I think it's like biology and something else as well. And it's so damn good. Yeah. So
I'm really actually weirdly excited to look into this app now.
Oh, so was excited. I was on the YouTube channel going over stuff for immunology, and I had to go to their main page, and then I went to their playlist to scroll down to find the right thing, and I just noticed that they came up with a video that the title was "We've launched our app," and I was like, whoa, what is this? So I clicked on it, saw the video, and I was like, I'm sold, and it's free, guys. So, and like, as much as Chelsea was saying, we study anatomy and physiology and that kind of stuff, they have stuff in everything. Like, they were even doing lectures about linguistics of why people speak, like how language is developed, and all, like, there's math stuff, there's so many things on there. So I would, whatever you are studying, especially if you are a visual learner, go and find Crash Course, get the app, and enjoy.
Sure. And same for me is that I hate faff. Fucking hate faff. I'm like, get to the point and stop, like get your words out. Like, I want things to be short, sweet, and concise. Because I can always go back and rewatch it or pause it or whatever else. I just hate sat there being like, cool, what is this video about? So if you're anything like me, Crash Course is great, and so is our good old friend, Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
I was gonna mention him. Because they're both Crash Course and Dr. Mike are the things that I go to first.
Yeah.
Because before I like to layer up my understanding of, like, starting with someone I know I can trust to, like, explain it to me. I'm not going to be confused. Like, Crash Course and Dr. Mike, you'll explain it, and it's not, like, GCC level. It is our level of understanding. So I know that I'm not, like, underestimating myself. And I like to have, like, the big, I think they're A2 or A1 size sheet of paper, and I'm on the floor. And as I'm watching that, I'll make a mind map of the subject of what they're saying. And then it's a good, like, starter page to just get everything in your head out on a piece of paper.
For sure. I'm more of a bullet pointer than a mind mapper, but for me, I like to put things, like, you know, saying before, I like to group things in, like, little sections. I honestly categorize and recategorize stuff all the time, which is why Excel is so good for me, because I can change my categories, how I file stuff, like, whatever. Everyone's like, what is Excel, Chelsea? Shut up about it, man. Like, what do you like it so much for? Love it.
Well, that actually leads me on to the next thing that I was going to bring up. Speaking of Excel, I very briefly mentioned, I think casually, or I have done on my Instagram recently, Notion.
Yes! Oh, you did tell me about this. I need to get on it.
So Notion is, and I'm only just grasping the surface level of it because I've only just heard about it recently. Notion is free to everyone, but especially if you are a student and you are interested in what I'm about to say, sign up with your student email account, because then you can upload as much information as you want, whereas if you got the personal plan, you can only upload, I think it's 5 megabytes per file that you're putting onto okay. there. But Notion is fantastic. You can do so much with it. You can use it as a like personal journal and just put entries in there. You can embed videos. You can create course contents. You can upload your lecture files. I've created a document. Basically, what I've done, guys, is I've color-coded everything, because color is also very important to me. I've broken down our anatomy sections, and then each of those, you can click on that, it'll take you to a separate page, and then on there, I've got learning outcomes, I've then got how happy I feel with the content, I've like color-coded Ooh. It so that I can check, I've made a timetable for when exams are. It's just I'm going to say it's a database of you nice. Yeah. can accumulate all of your knowledge and create this beautiful document. Because obviously I like stuff to look aesthetically pleasing to me too.
Yeah.
And all of your stuff is stored on there. Some of it can be a little bit more complicated, but they have YouTube channels that will show you how to do all of the stuff Ooh, with it as well.
I'm going
to
look this up.
I would 100% recommend. And you can have it across your computer, your phone, and your iPad, and it syncs to all of them.
Oh,
I love the sound of this. Okay, I'm going to look this up.
I love the idea of that you can do it all on your laptop, and then you've got your phone whilst you're out about and be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go and check that. Like,
Exactly. I love stuff that synchronizes between those kind of things, because back in the day when I used to use the tube in London to go to work, I would be able to have my phone on offline, and if I'm sat there doing nothing, well, I've got 5 minutes to just kind of like scroll Sick. Through, yeah. make yeah. a couple of quizzes, that kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I That's think we really should good. Point out as well, we're not sponsored by anything today, by the way. No. We are literally just talking about things that we like and that has been useful for us. So we're not selling you any of these stuff here. We're just literally what we found that's
No, great. No. But if Paper Chase still wants to get in contact with us, they're more than welcome to do so.
There is an app that I've started using in the last couple of weeks that I found really, really useful. It's called Forest. And I find it useful because, you both know it. This is great. So hopefully the listeners won't know about it and this will be interesting for them. But if you're as terrible as I am at sitting down for extended periods of time, without just full on stop listening or procrastinating or starting to use your phone on something, this is ideal because it's fucking adorable. So what you do is this little Forest app is like an adaption of the Pomodoro method, isn't it?
Yes.
And when you're ready to start your sort of study period, you plant a little virtual tree. And then for 25 minutes, you don't look at your phone, don't touch it, don't use any social media or anything like that. And as you study and you're like in your little focused zone, the tree grows. So if you touch any like social media or anything like that, your tree dies. It's very sad. But then you have like 25 minute intervals and you have like 5 minute breaks. And then after a couple of intervals, you have a slightly longer break, which I love because it just gives me intense little bursts of like, I can do this, I can learn this little subtopic or whatever is what I find most useful. I don't know about you guys.
The timing, definitely. I only came across the Pomodoro technique probably since the start of second year, and that has been a game changer for me because I was very much like, I have this subject and I'm going to spend absolutely all day on it, and let's just hope that but the majority of that would be that I'd work all day, but if you tallied up how many hours I actually did, it was probably only maybe 2 out of the 6 that I'd sat down for, or the 5, because I got distracted. The only thing that I've done recently, though, because I also have Forest, is I don't know whether you've seen that they've turned it into a Christmas tree, because it is a Christmas tree.
Yes, adorable.
So I've been going for a longer period of time, because the longer you go, you make more of a Christmas tree, and it has more presents and more snow and more areas to it. I maxed out and actually did 2 hours just so that I could see what the tree looked like at the end.
I love that. That's awesome.
See, it's good incentive. is a very good incentive for studying.
For sure. That's one of the key things, isn't it, is about the reward system. So they were doing that with a lot of kind of not just even study sort of software, but work software, as in terms of like you play games because you get a reward. And it releases that dopamine in your body. So it's things like there's a thing called Asana, which is like a project management tool. And once you've completed a certain amount of tasks, there's like a rainbow and a unicorn that comes across the screen saying, well done. And so it's just like, you want that rainbow and unicorn again. So it's like, I'm going to keep doing my tasks. So they're bringing some of that psychology into those sort of things, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I think productivity wise, it's really important to give yourself, like, I'm just like you, Jax. I've fallen so much into the like, I'm going to study all day, like blah, 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 do like 8 hours or whatever and have like a really small break for lunch. But then the next day I'm absolutely exhausted and I'd planned to like study. And then I only do like an hour max and it's really useless. And actually the day before when I did 8 hours, none of it really properly went into my memory because you're doing it in such long periods.
I also have been using, so for the Pomodoro technique with the 25 on, 5 minute off, repeat.
Yeah, do you want to explain a bit more about the Pomodoro technique? Because personally, I don't know anything about study techniques at all. I haven't looked into them, so maybe it's worth talking a little bit about what the technique is.
From what I'm aware from the people that I've listened to, I don't know why, I imagine it's a man or a lady called Pomodoro that came up with it. Or maybe, do you know the reason for it, why it's called that, V?
No, I don't.
It's just the technique.
Have a quick look.
Chelsea can check and see. But the technique itself is basically you do 25 minutes of intensive study. So there are no distractions. You find what it is that you're going to do and you just crack on and get on with it. Then after 25 minutes, you'll have ideally set yourself a timer using something. And then you'll have a 5 minute break. And that 5 minute break can be for whatever you like. You know, if you want to go on social media, you can do. If you need to get up and go and get a snack or whatever, feel free to do so.
Yeah.
And then after
do
that 5
squats.
Minutes... do some squats, you get back on it again for another 25 minutes and you repeat that process. I have an app that you do it 4 times and on the fourth one, you then have a longer break and then you repeat it and continue. Yeah. So I also use another app, which is called, I think it's called Focus Keeper, Time Focus. I wrote it down in my notes, Time Focus. And that has a little timer. So as you have to sacrifice the tree, which is very cute, but you get a timer to see how long you're meant to be studying for, and then it'll kind of calculate, and then once you've done 4 of these rounds of 25 minutes, then you get a 25 minute break, but you could extend it if you wanted to make it longer, and you also get calming sounds during your longer break as well.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a good way to study.
Do you want to know why it's called the Pomodoro technique?
Go on then.
Go for it.
It's beautiful. So the Pomodoro technique was developed by Francesco Cirillo? It's Cirillo in the late 1980s. So each interval is known as a Pomodoro from the Italian word for tomato, after the tomato-shaped kitchen timer that he used as a university student.
How cute!
How cute is that?
I loved those little timers. I was that annoying child that always used to go and set them off when you saw them in places at different intervals and then walk out the shop.
Yeah, amazing.
You cheeky little kid.
Speaking of techniques, because you're both, I think, especially Jax and V as well, like you guys like to research more into study techniques and things and what's the best way to do stuff, whereas I don't do that. So tell me your top techniques.
Well, I have 2 methods that I want to tell about because they really, really help me. And I have a lot of memory difficulties. And I found these 2 are the best ones so far. So the first one is the lateness system or method. And I don't know if either of you know about this, but it's very good for people who like flashcards and have like memory difficulties like me, or just like want to remember all of the details that we have to. So it's based on the theory behind space repetition and memory. So space repetition is used to overcome this man Hermann Ebbinghaus's forgetting curve, which is sort of like a curve that plots out how much you retain information over a period of time, which I do find very interesting. And this technique is used to activate your short-term and your long-term memory, which is key. So by spacing out your study sessions, your brain has more time to absorb and process the information you've learned, and then you can reinforce it through the spaced learning. So essentially what I do is that I have a, what's it called? A bookshelf, a completely plain, nothing on it bookshelf above my desk when I'm revising and making study cards, and it's like maybe a month before an exam. And I put like little boxes in there, or just like five piles. So these five boxes represent a study period of time. So the box one is you review the flashcards every day. Box two, you review them every other day. Box three, review them every 4 days. Box four, you review them every week. And box five, every 2 weeks. So all of your flashcards begin in the first box. And as you sort of, you just keep it to one question and one answer on each flashcard.
Yeah.
And as you get the flashcard right, the question on the flashcard, you move it up one box if you get it correct. And then if you get it wrong, your flashcard moves back to the first box, so you're reviewing it every single day. And even if it goes, even if you get the flashcard right, like every time you study it and it goes to the box five, if you get it wrong at box five, it goes back to box one. So it's really good. And
I
this
love
sort of like
this.
It's so
cool.
So good.
I
it's
like
really
that.
Good,
like, because I
highly highly recommend.
I have heard of the what was the technique that you said? Now I've forgotten.
The forgetting curve,
the forgetting
one.
Curve, and the repetitive.
Oh, the spacing out one.
Spaced repetition.
The spaced repetition.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have heard of spaced repetition before, and I have heard about the forgetting curve. And I knew that, and I know that testing yourself on a regular basis has been proven through lots of studies and things that I've read is the way to make sure that stuff is being remembered. But I hadn't heard of the box technique itself. So now I'm definitely going to try that. The other thing that I do is, and I've heard other people, be it productivity or study-based people, have said, is gamifying. So a little bit like you said, Chelsea, with the dopamine here, but turning information into a bit of a game.
Mm.
So for me, I have flashcards that for like our muscle attachments and things. I've got flashcards of the name of the muscle, and then on the back I've got the insertion points, the blood supply, those kind of things. And I match, so I've got a big white wardrobe, and I match them up, and it's a little bit of a game. And then when I get them right, I'm like, yes! And then I move on to like the next joint and match up other bits from there as well. And I think if I can turn the information into a quiz or into a game of some sort, I'm more involved. Whereas if all of that again was just written down on a piece of paper, or even just on a video being spoken at me, I don't retain it as much. So yeah, I definitely think testing and spaced repetition is so, because I'm trying to work on how to incorporate that, but I really like that box technique method. That sounds awesome. And then also if you're like me and you like little games, then finding some way to create the information you've got in front of you and turning it into a game, be it a memory game or a matching game, that is going to get into your brain a bit better, I would say.
I really like that idea of matching them, because I think that would work really well for me, because I've tried out the Quizlet like flashcards website for their games, where they have like a couple of games where you match them up, or it's like a little like Space Invaders sort of thing. And that works really well if you're into like virtual things, but I think hands-on is a bit better for me.
Yeah, especially because you're saying that you're a kinesthetic learner. Definitely better doing it like that than it is going to be like on a phone or something.
In first year at BCom, when it was exam season for the anatomy exams, because we had like a anatomy viva where you were going round, and we had like the neuroanatomy one. I printed out loads of pictures of like the brain or something like that, and drew like a red circle about around the structure that I needed to know. And then I just stuck them all around my house. Like before I had entered the bathroom, I had to say like what the structure in the red circle was before I was allowed to go inside.
Oh,
yeah. Or like on my favorite coffee mug, I had like a flashcard or a post-it note, and I had to get it right before I could use that mug or something like that. And it did really help.
Did you at any point during this put one in front of the bathroom when you really needed the toilet and you didn't know what it was?
Yes, I did. And you can, I like to do doodles like you do, Jax. And I draw, if I find it really difficult to remember something, I'll draw like a little doodle or make a mnemonic for something. And it makes it really good. Like the weirder the doodle or the mnemonic, the easier it's going to stick in your head. So I recommend getting, it doesn't have to be a piece of fine art, but just making like a weird little doodle is really good.
I love a doodle.
I also really hope that you implemented that with the rest of your family as well during the time you were studying. No, you cannot use this kettle unless you tell me what this structure is.
Yeah.
It's really good though to like try and implement your family members or your flatmates or your friends into your study regime and testing yourself is really good. I really like playing like a game of catch, like just with like a tennis ball or something like that, and before you throw the ball back to the person, you have to answer the question, otherwise like you've got like this little hot potato in your hand, and that's quite a good way to do it as well.
I think using other people, even if it's just for them to listen to you, is also important as well. Because I find if you have all the information stored in your brain, for me, sometimes I'm like, I need to just go and tell my housemates some of these things that I've learned. Because either it somehow gets into my brain a bit more, and I feel like if I don't let it out and tell someone, I'm going to lose that information. So sometimes we'll have learnt something at uni, and then literally that evening, I don't know whether he now does this to help me or whether he actually really is interested, he'll be like, so tell me something about you, what you've learnt today. And then I'm like, oh well, we learnt that this happens, and this happened, and da da da. Like, he went to go give blood 2 weeks ago, I think, or something, and I had remembered that a red blood cell is only alive for 120 days. And then he told the lady that was, and she was like, oh no, she's right. And then, so she came back with a question for me. Ed was like, and I was like, oh, I think it was, what is the development of a red blood cell, what's the process called? And so I was like, oh, I think I know this. And so I said it, and then my housemate looked at me and went, well, I don't know the answer. Like, so she didn't tell you the answer. And he was like,
Is it erythropoiesis?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yes! That's the word that was in my head.
Yeah, and that's like, and that's what I said. I had to Google it, and I was like, yes!
Cute. I love that. That's so cool. Of like, I want to find to bring that into life in a way, because for me, it's definitely talking about the key things that work for me is talking about stuff, which is why study groups work so well for me. Like, I love that we get together and just like just chat about something, even if it's really informally, it really, really helps me. And secondly, deadlines. Like, I respond really, really well to deadlines. So, you know, in a formal sense, you've got your like exam deadlines and all that sort of stuff. So I'm, you know, I'm really good at responding to that, but I need to set myself mini deadlines on the way up. It's like, even if it's just like, okay, so this week I want to read 3 pages of a textbook. I want to do, you know, revise one of my techniques. I want to be able to do this, like little sort of almost achievements that I want to do. But for me, I respond better to really strict deadlines. So I have to be like, I have to do that this week. And then I'll actually do it. If I'm just like, I would like to learn that this week, I won't do anything. Like, I need to like be really, really strict with myself. That's what I find works for me personally.
Well, I also find that similar to what you're saying, Chelsea, is that what I tend to do is if I know, like, for example, over the Christmas period, as Scroogey as it is, I am today going to create a list of what I'm going to do over that week.
Yeah.
Like, I think And some people can say, oh, well, that's just procrastination. And yes, if you go in too deep, then it is a form of procrastination. And I am aware of that. I don't need all of my pretty pens out. But if I have written in my diary, be it on my phone or actually in a physical diary, this is what I'm going to do for today. It just, it also releases a little bit of stress that I might have behind a subject. Because if this subject is so massive and so big, you get that freak out and then you're actually more likely not to do anything. Whereas if you've written down and said, okay, today I'm going to do a couple of hours working on this subject. And then you just look at that and go, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. Rather than at the beginning of every day, spending an hour deciding what you're then going to work about that day.
Yeah.
Like if you've got just a week planned out, do it on a Sunday, wake up on Monday morning, off you go, you're sorted.
Yeah. I do. I've really liked this little, it's a very simple like weekly planner. And I've literally just been like ticking, like on Sunday night, I will just write everything that I have to do that I know of that week. And I will just tick it off as I go along the week. And it's so satisfying just ticking off a list.
Oh, love ticking a box so much. What I like doing in the morning is I'll make a cup of hot water and then I'll come and sit at my desk and I'll make a little to-do list for the day. Even if it's just like, I put like loads of stuff on there. So it's even things like go for a walk or do some yoga, have a cup of tea. You know, just little, so I have always got a little self-care section because you can't just be productive all the time.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm learning myself because I'm always like, it's okay to rest and take care of yourself. You don't have to be productive all the time. So little list of things, even if it's just like make dinner and whatever, because it just feels so good, like checking things off and stuff. I find that, I don't know. I just really, really like it.
I think this year in particular as well, that's definitely been something for, because they're little small wins. Like when people are going through, and it doesn't necessarily have to be related to 2020, but if you're going through a period where you're really struggling to just do anything, literally getting up and going for a walk or getting up or be able to make yourself a cup of tea, like that's an achievement. And I think sometimes people look down on themselves because they haven't, and again, especially this year, they haven't become this massive creative person, or they haven't really honed in on this certain subject that they need to do. As much as I'm all for productivity and studying and, you know, getting shit done, there are times where you need to be able to balance that out. And so like you said, Chelsea, like self-care is important, and making time. So even though you've put down that you're going to do this subject, also make time to sit with your dog and watch a film or like watch something, like 100%. Those kind of things as well.
It's like going back to the old Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like you've got your basic biological stuff on the bottom, and the second level is about safety. None of us feel safe right now. So it's like, because of everything that's going on, we're all really stressed. Like the whole world is stressed at the moment. So it's like, you don't have to have achieved everything. Just the fact of getting out of bed in the morning is good. The fact that you brushed your teeth for 30 seconds rather than 2 minutes is still good, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that you got yourself in the shower, amazing. Like, don't, you know, have that negative view of yourself and be like, I haven't done everything that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I
feel it's like the whole shit, like projection of perfectionism. And like especially like this year, especially like you were saying, is that everyone's sort of like, you see people doing really amazing things over this period of time in this sort of unprecedented period where somebody's like mastered playing the cello, or like has like suddenly become a fantastic like sourdough baker or something like that. And I think I've understood now that that's exactly why I procrastinate. It's because I want something to be so perfect that I couldn't possibly achieve that the first time I do it. So like to try and overcome that, especially with essays, I find it really difficult starting an essay because I'm like, oh, where do I begin? Like all of this sort of stuff. And it goes back to my mind maps or to making bullet lists, or even for like my notes, I do this. If I don't know where to start, I'll literally just do like whatever's in your head about that topic or that subject or that class, literally just write it down in a bullet list or a mind map or something like that. And then you have something down. And it's not just a blank piece of paper, which is terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, my top tip for that, especially as a dyslexic human, is to use a dictation tool. So you've got one in like Google, or there's things like Dragon Dictate and stuff, and just talk it, because I find it way easier to talk about stuff than I do to write things down. So if you've got an essay, say, just to pick something out of there, so you've got an essay about muscle attachments. This is always the thing I go back to, isn't it? Muscle attachments. And you just say what you know about it. Just talk it out. It will text it all down, kind of in a Word document or whatever. And then afterwards, you can go in and edit, because the hardest thing is a blank page. But yeah, using things like Grammarly as well is super, super good if you're dyslexic and your grammar's shit like mine is. Because obviously, like, spell check doesn't always pick everything up. Like, it will see if something's spelt right, but it might not grammatically be the right word and all of that sort of thing. So Grammarly's super, super good for that. But yeah, as a dyslexic, dictation tools are top points.
There's one more method that I just wanted to mention, because I've been trying it out over the last couple of weeks, both in uni and in my studying, and I found it really useful, and I didn't know about it before. So I just wanted to mention about the Cornell method of, like it's like a template guide. Have either of you heard about it?
No,
I just thought, I know the name Cornell, but I thought because of Chris Cornell from Audioslave.
Yes. I don't know if he invented this or not. I don't remember who invented it, but it is really useful for sort of organising your lecture notes. Because I found previously my handwriting looks like chicken scrawls, so I can never understand it. And then when in a lecture, they're sort of like, I used to try and write word for word what the lecturer was saying, which is a huge mistake. So the Cornell method is essentially, if you imagine your like plain notebook page, you have two columns, and the left hand column is your recall column, and it's essentially, I just do double the width of, you know, that little margin with the red line. You just double the width of that, and so that's the slightly thinner left hand column, which is your recall column. And this is where I write questions for the lecturer, textbook or video recommendations, important references and reminders, or anything that I need to look up later and doesn't need your attention during your lecture or like immediately, like when you're studying. And the wider right hand column is your notes column. And instead of writing word for word what your lecturer is saying, try to, as you're listening, or if you're listening to a video and you're writing notes, try to summarise what they're saying as they're saying it, because it's a much more active way to learn. And if you're summarising, you're putting it in your own words, and it's, I found it really, really useful. Like, I'm surprised how useful I found this.
Cool.
And then you're just writing key points down as well, which you can flesh out later. Like, you write down any stressed or like repeated information, and you're using really concise. And I use shorthand symbols and abbreviations.
Ooh,
I think
sick.
I've used these for years, so I don't know whether it's just going to make sense in my weird little brain, but I will put, like, we'll have like a little study highlight on the TTOS podcast Instagram, and you can go and have a look at the abbreviations on there, because it's very good for making quick, like, shorthand notes. Apparently Cornell method, you're meant to do it on every single page. You summarize what it is, but we have very long lectures about long topics, so at the end of all of your notes I leave about a third of a page, or maybe half of a page, and then after that lecture or you're studying or whatever, either the same day or the next day, this is also about the spaced repetition and reviewing things, try to summarize what you wrote about. So read through and try to summarize the key points at the bottom to summarize what you learned about that. And then you can write any questions down and either look them up or ask a friend or email your lecturer if you're really struggling. And I found it really, really useful. And then you can sort of adapt it to, like, if you keep paper copy notes, or you can upload it onto an electronic copy. I found it a really useful way to do it, because then it organises everything that you've been doing, and it's good for reviewing to making further notes.
That sounds awesome.
I like that.
Yeah. And in the little left hand column, I've also been doing, when we've been doing pathology at the moment, I've been like little jotting down, like next to like a certain pathology that we've been studying, like hyperthyroidism, I've been writing down like a little doodle idea. So later on, for pathologies, I'm going to try and draw on one side of a flashcard, like somebody with that type of condition or disorder or something like that. And then on the next page, I'm going to be writing like the key parts of that pathology so that I can try and sort of learn from those. So just looking at the doodle. And there's also doodles online that you can find for lots of pathologies and stuff like that. So I'm going to try and do that from the little notes I've made.
Nice.
So just give it a go, because I was a bit dubious about it and I was like, this is going to fucking take ages to get into, but it's really, really useful for organising and reviewing your notes.
And this is called the, what method was it called?
The Cornell method.
Cornell method. Okay. Yeah. I think the only thing I would add on top of that as well, which you guys have definitely spoken about before, is creating a glossary of words.
Yes.
So I have a book which I've then labelled A to Z.
Holy shit, that's a lot more organised than mine.
And make a copy.
Obviously, this is from Paper Joe's. So I created an A to Z. I just got a book. Then I got loads of sticky tabs, put A to Z on the side, stuck them in. And so now, especially for us doing anatomy and physiology and pathologies, that's really good because I'm putting those in there. But even if you were studying another form of a topic and you come across a word, because I was terrible last year for trying to read text and I'd get to a word and I didn't know what it meant. And rather than looking the word up, I would just pass on by thinking that that was absolutely fine. Which I'm not saying you should look up every single word if you don't understand what it means, but if it is really going to be a key player in whatever you're talking about and said word keeps coming up, the chances are you probably should know what that is. So if you look it up, find out some sort of definition, it doesn't have to take you ages, and then write it down, you've got it then in a book, and you can either revise the book, or if you're then going through some text again or you hear someone say a word, it's like I heard someone mentioned a certain word when we were in lectures the other day, and I was like, I've written this down. What does it mean? I just pulled out my book and then flipped to it, and I was like, oh, yes, yeah, of course it's that. That's what we're talking about. So keeping some form of a glossary or dictionary of words, I would say, and the suffixes and prefixes that you guys have mentioned as well. So trying to learn those, especially if you're doing something that's Latin, Greek based words.
Yeah, that is my toppidist of tippity tippidists. Is to try and learn the suffix and prefixes of the words, because then when you come across a word that you've never seen before, you can generally figure out what it means. Like we were talking about red blood cell creation, erythropoiesis, because erith means red blood cell and poiesis means cell creation. So you see that word and you know that means red blood cell, that means cell creation, so you know it. That's my top. That's helped me so much, that of just understanding things in general.
Yeah, massively.
Tippity tippity tippies.
I think this is probably a useful time to mention it. Routine.
Oh yes. My god, yes.
Having some form of a routine, and this is like, I obviously we're relating to this in terms of studying, but just for, and again, I am a creature of habit, so of course I'm going to favour having a routine, and everyone's routine has been destroyed this year. So finding and recreating some form of a routine is going down to us, even the simple basic things of going to bed at a similar time and getting up at a similar time. I know there are people obviously that do shift work, and I used to be one of those when I was at my job, and so that's a bit more difficult. But if you can on average roughly have the same sort of get up time and go to bed time, you're just gonna feel a little bit more like you can handle whatever the day has got in front of you. And if it's a mound of studying, if it's lots of difficult decisions that you have to make, having some form of a routine balanced with a bit of studying or a bit of working and some downtime is going to equate to you feeling better about whatever it is that you have to do.
100%. And getting up early enough so you don't have to rush to be where you need to be at a certain time. If you were talking about perfectionism, you don't have to be perfect at it. It's like, obviously it's really good to like have a plan, get it in place. Like for me, my sort of mornings is I'll get up, I'll go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, whatever. Then I go and make a cup of hot water. I'll sit at my desk whilst I drink that, think about what I want to do for the day. I'll go and do some yoga. Then I'll go for a walk, like, in nature, come back, have a shower. That probably takes around, like, 2 hours. So it's quite long, yeah, and quite a lot to do. But it's sacred for me, and it really, really supports my mental health as well, which is obviously a huge thing for everyone. And I do struggle quite a lot with my mental health kind of going up and down. And for me, having that 2 hour morning kind of grounding process, like, sets me up for the day and makes me feel great. But one top tip that I got from my Ayurvedic teacher as well is that it's great to have routines and everything, but don't let it mean that you have to do that to be okay.
Yeah,
like, you have to sometimes be able to just let it go. Don't think like, I have to do this otherwise something's going to go wrong. It's like, it's got to be just like, this is a great process that I've put in for myself. Today I can't do it. It's okay that I can't do it today, you know? So yeah, we move on, we'll do it tomorrow, sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And trying not to compare your routine to other people's as because I have a very small window of what I feel like is my productive time, because I know that I'm most tired and lethargic and not able to concentrate after lunch in the afternoon. So for me, as a reward system, I know that I wake up at a certain time and get things going, and I will study in the morning before my lunch or before my run at lunchtime. And that is my reward for studying in the morning and getting work done, is my run, because I love it so much. And then after that, I review what I did in the morning. And it's actually really useful is exercise in between, so that you can review what you did in the morning and it will stick in your head more. Or, like, I absolutely love when I can bring myself to wake up early, is taking my dog out for a walk first thing in the morning. Dogs are, I know I'm so lucky to have a dog, but taking your dog out in the morning, because they're so excited to go and see what's going on in, like, local neighborhood sniffing territories and stuff like that, it perks up your mood so much. Or doing it in the afternoon as well.
Mm. No,
but you can do both for just walking.
Just getting out of the house at some point. Which, getting some sort of fresh air. And I know that all three of us are very fortunate that we've got some sort of green space that's near us relatively. But even if you live in the middle of London City or some sort of built up area, like, just getting out for a small walk, obviously during this time, as socially distanced as necessary.
Yeah.
But it just, I feel so much more rejuvenated when I come back after having had a walk. I mean, sometimes I get a bit too involved and I'm gone for 2 hours, but I was maybe after going to a certain place and it just took me a long time to get there. But even just a short little break outside, sometimes listening to music and podcasts, but I'm also now trying to sometimes not, just to kind of ground me a bit more with what's going on, so that when I come back, I'm not, because also, if I've started a podcast episode, possibly one of yours, I want to finish it. So then I'll come back and I'm still like, oh, I got 20 minutes left. And then no productivity for the rest of the day. Whereas if I had actually gone out and finished my podcast outside or not listened to anything, I would come back and I'd be like, right, let's go. And just get on with it. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like what you touched on about mindfulness is super, super important for, like, clarity of what you need to do with your day and just, like, how you're feeling. You need to be acknowledging that so that you can, like, proceed with what you actually need to do rather than sort of, like, ignoring things.
Yeah, for sure. And I think to round off very nicely, one thing I'd like to say, top study tip, is take a break.
Yeah.
Whether that's like we were talking about those little tips of just like studying for like 25 minutes and having a 5 minute break, it's also about giving yourself some time off over Christmas to enjoy yourself, enjoy your family, people around you, and just have a nice time and wind down, you know. Especially if you're like us and you're an osteopathy student, it's fucking heavy and it's hard work. And it's so, so important to give yourself that time off to kind of reconnect with yourself and people around you. And then it gives you more space to be able to actually process things when we go back in January, for sure.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to ching you then when you said hear, hear. I'm like, let's...
Where's my mulled wine now?
Are we ever going to be able to cheers again? That's one thing I thought of. Are we cheers, you know, in a pub, like with a pint?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Sorry, I've just brought the tone down. Damn it. Ruined it, Chelsea. Awesome. Any other final top points from anyone else?
Yeah, I think we briefly sort of like mentioned earlier that we have a study group,
yes.
Which was so useful last year for our anatomy and physiology. We have learning objectives for each sort of subject. So like, for instance, for the respiratory system or something like that, you have learning objectives being like, what are the components of this, or what does this mean, or how does this process work? And we had a shared Google document, and then we would go on like a Zoom call or a Whereby call or something like that. And then you go through the learning objective and each person is allocated a learning objective. And they do their own research and you come back, and it's such a time saver, and you're teaching other people about the subject. So you're reinforcing your learning by teaching somebody else. And it's so useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're much more likely to remember conversations with your friends than like just listening to like a lecture or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
That like made me smash that exam. That's a group going through all of that. That was brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it because I love you guys.
Love you too. I think the final thing that I would probably have to say is that what we've obviously spoken about today, lots of different types of learning and techniques that you can do, but do something that you feel good about doing. So if you've got, don't just sit with a massive fat fuck off textbook in front of you and read it, and if you're hating every minute of it, yes, your content is probably hard, but there's probably a million other ways that you could do it that you find more engaging and you find more enjoyable. Because if you can curate a space that you want to be in to study in, like have your favorite tea, go to your favorite coffee shop when you're allowed, and you've got a method that you really enjoy, the time with revision won't seem so much of a chore. You'll actually probably enjoy what you're doing, and the chances are it'll stick a little bit more. So if you're hating every minute of it, the chances are there's probably something you can change to make it better for you.
For sure.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. Top advice.
Guys, I think we've solved the world's study problems. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, if all of these listeners listening right now aren't geniuses at all of their topics, you come to your TV and I will help you with study tips.
And also, if any listeners, if you've got any other tips that you think you want to share with the world, let us know. Not that every person in the world listens to this, but, you know.
Yeah.
A few.
Yeah, if you find it really, really useful, and we'll pop it onto our Instagram highlight, and then everything will be there for you guys to have a look at and go through.
Guys, honestly, from the bottom of my tiny heart, because I'm the Grinch and it's two sizes too small, thank you so, so, so much for listening to us. We've had an absolutely amazing, amazing time doing this, and we're so excited to come back for you in the new year.
We feel so lucky, don't we, as well? Because, like, obviously the world is not listening to our podcast, but we do appreciate so much, like, all of the feedback that we've had from our listeners and support from everyone, because we've had such a good time. It's been, like, a real highlight for Chelsea and I each week when we get to just chat shit about things that we're interested in and, like, weird medical stories, and we've had our lovely friends on as guests as well, which we've just been like, yes, this is the best thing ever. We love it.
Yeah, for sure. It's been amazing, and thank you so much for coming back each week. It's been awesome, and we can't wait for more fun in the new year.
I'm looking forward to season two.
Yeah, we've got some exciting stuff happening. Some really exciting stuff planned.
So exciting. And it's all changed.
Yeah, we're having a big switch up for season two. So stay tuned and follow along on our Twitter and Instagram and Facebook pages and stuff like that at TTOOS podcast to keep up with stuff, because we'll be posting over the break as well. And you can email us if you have anything that you want to let us know, anything about osteopathy or anatomy and physiology, or if you have any really gross or weird medical stories. I want to know them. You know I do. So please email at TTOOSpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a bloody Merry Christmas and a very, very Happy New Year. And we will see you in 2021.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Step into Christmas, step into Christmas, let your jack a bit of dinner, we can watch the snow.